Okay, I'm in. I said Luke. Okay, I may get to Luke. I may not get to Luke. Let's go to Matthew 2. Matthew 2. Let's stand together. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to pick up in verse number 1 of Matthew 2. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they had opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Lord, sure love you. And Lord, as Pastor Matt already prayed, we do thank you that our country still in some way or form acknowledges the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time of year. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless your people as family and friends gather these next few days. Give them a sweet, sweet time. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, go ahead and be seated. Just remember this when you gather together, okay? You're not gathering together for something sad. It's not a funeral. You haven't lost a loved one. No, listen, when you get my age, sometimes the only time people get together in the families is when somebody has died and you're at a funeral. So if you're getting together with family and friends and it's a wonderful time, enjoy yourself. Be a blessing to one another. Amen? Okay. And so I was just, Pastor Matt's message, I was impressed with that message on Sunday. And I thank God for it. And he got me thinking about these wise men. And I was just sort of rooting around. And so I just got this little thing. I got a little thought about the wise men. What were they looking for? In verse number 1, it said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born what?'" What are they looking for? They're looking for a king. What were they? They were wise men. I didn't call them wise men. God called them wise men. So these aren't local yokels, okay, that are hanging down the street corners, okay? These guys got some sense about them. They got some knowledge about them. And so they're looking for a king. Why are they looking for a king? Why would you look for a king? You're looking for a king to rule over you. They weren't looking for a baby. They were looking for a king, and they were wise men, and they wanted a king who would rule over them. Why did they want someone to rule over them? Because they realized they couldn't rule themselves well. You know, if most folks would just be honest and look at their life and look at the stupid decisions they made and the stupid turns that they made and the mess ups they made, they'd realize that, you know what? God's not going to mess up your life. God is going to bless your life. And so a wise person would realize, you know what, if I could find me a king that would rule over me, then I would have somebody that could help me live a good life. Are y'all with me? Also, number 2, they realized as wise men, they needed somebody wiser than them to direct them. Amen. Now, I know y'all know everything. Whenever I need an answer to anything, all I got to do is check with you. And if you can't give me the answer, you'll just get your phone and Google it, and then we'll have it in just 3 or 4 minutes. And here's these wise men. They were wise enough to realize they needed somebody wiser than themselves to direct them. Now, I know some of y'all down in your heart of hearts, you think you're smarter than the preacher. You think you're smarter than your mom and dad. You think you're smarter than Pastor Matt. You think you're smarter than God. And I want to say something. You can heed the warning, or you can go your own self-centered way, but you follow your own wisdom. You follow your own thoughts. You are headed for disaster. You're headed for trouble. You're headed for a time that time will pass and you will come to yourself and you'll go, look at the wasted time. Didn't count nothing for God. And I look where I am because of it. So those wise men realized they needed somebody wiser than themselves. They also realized they needed a king to save them. Amen. They were lost. They were without God. They needed a king. I got a king of kings and a lord of lords. I have a savior that saved me from hell. Amen. Now, listen to me. How did they find him? Well, they found him in the scriptures. In verses 5 and 6, it was quoting Micah chapter 5, verse 2 about the prophet. Well, the prophet was Micah, and that was written down. You know how you find the Lord? In that book. You get yourself in that book. You read that book on a faithful basis, on a regular basis, by the grace of God. You go to the house of God, listen to preaching on a regular basis, and you'll find him in the scriptures. Amen. So what did they do? They went directly to him. They made haste. They brought him gifts. That's funny. He's the king. You'd think they'd be asking him, but they brought him gifts. Did you ever think about that? You know, some of the kids in Sunday school, they were talking about Jesus' birthday and stuff, you know. Well, you know, at a birthday party, it's like what Pastor Matt said, you usually give the person who's having the birthday. We give everybody gifts but the king. Well, what kind of a gift do you think he would like? He'd like worship, is right. What other gift do you think he would like? Cass? I can't hear you. Your time. What's the most valuable thing you possess? It's your time. Guys, when everybody in here has a busy schedule, and when people take that busy schedule and they square out some time for you or for your children or whatever, they're given the most valuable thing they have to have an effect on those kids or on those families or on those adults or whatever it might be. You can give them your time, give them your worship. What else could you give them? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And listen. That simple, childlike faith. God says it. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to see how it's going to work out. I just need to trust him and do what he says to do. Isn't that what you want for your children? Son, just do it. Why, Daddy? I don't know about you, but that drove me up a wall. We do the same thing to the Father. Why? You know, like we really had sense, you know? You with me? And then after they gave him gifts, what did they do? They worship. That's important. Every time we show up, it ought to be worship. Every morning, you should spend some time worshiping the Lord. You read that book, you spend some time in prayer. Just praise his holy name for how good he's been. Amen? Amen. Well, there's probably a message in there somewhere. I'll probably weed it out here in the next couple of years. Dan stole all my outlines for Christmas and gave them to Pastor Raju. Let's go to Luke. I am super excited about that door God has given us there in India, guys. I really am. And I really like some of you young people to really pray about going. I know we got 3 going over to the Philippines in February. I know they're excited about that. But if we could get some guys to go over there with Pastor Matt and Brother Dan around next November sometime. It's sometime over there. we're going to, by faith, I'm planning that we're going to have a meeting over there. And we need special music and need some helpers and more teachers, you know. And that'll be good. Well, listen, I think we've had a good time here. I just want to, there's two people here in Luke chapter number 2. Look there in verse number 25 with me. And I just want to try to give you a little something to encourage you. Guys, the faithful Christian life is not a lot of flash. It's not a lot of, spectacular stuff. It's that old illustration, you know, you're plowing that field, you run down that furrow straight, and you run it down however far it is, and then you just turn around, and then you just come back the other way, you know. Brother Hank used to preach a message on the daily grind. And that is what and here it is, okay? We have adversaries every day that's trying to get us off track, trying to get us to quit, trying to get us to head off on a different direction or whatever, you know. And I just want to show you two people here in the Bible. They're not famous. They're not in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, but they're mentioned here in Luke chapter 2. And I believe God has put them here to commend what they did. They were waiting on God. They were faithful. And that's important for you and I today. I mean, Luke 2, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So God, the Holy Ghost, tells Simeon, you are going to see the Messiah before you die. You're not going to see a vision. You're going to see the Messiah. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, I don't know about you, but I just sort of get goosebumps thinking about this preacher. And God had told him. And then the Spirit of God says, you need to get over to the temple in a hurry because he's there. And he walks in with Mary, and he doesn't say, but it's just a baby. He doesn't say, well, he just takes that baby up and holds that baby up to God. And I can see the tears running down his face and him praising and magnifying the Lord God of glory for keeping the word of God. And that he got to hold the Messiah in his hands and got to see him. And then his Bible says that, verse 28, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before. I mean, you're looking at a baby. What's this guy evidencing here? He's evidencing faith. I mean, God said, you're going to see the Messiah. Here's the Messiah. Well, he's a baby. He's not going to the cross as a baby, but he believes that. He trusts God. Verse 31, for thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them. Guys, you know, sometimes sometimes we don't think about the reality of this stuff. I mean, Mary had an angel appear to her and tell her what? You're going to have a baby, and Joseph's not going to be involved in this thing, and it's going to be the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, you know, Mary tells him, you know, I'm in a family way, but, you know, I haven't been sleeping around. The angel showed up. An angel told me. I mean, you know, come on. Let's just be honest about it, okay? Yeah, sure, Mary. Yeah, right. But, you know, he doesn't blow a gasket or anything. He's actually trying to put her away privily, the Bible says. He's trying to sort of hide that thing so she's not all embarrassed and everything. And so then the angel talks to Joseph. And he says, Joseph, listen, you know, I know you're going to marry this girl, but you can't be sleeping with her. And she's going to have a baby, but it's not by another man. It's by the Holy Ghost. And it's the Savior. It's going to be the Savior, the Messiah that you've read about, that the preachers are preaching about and everything. And he told him that, okay? And so, you know, I mean, listen, they believed it and they're living it. But, you know, all of a sudden, Mary, you know, she starts getting, you know, rounder and rounder. And he's there in the stall, and undoubtedly he helped deliver that baby and everything, you know. And before you know it, shepherds are showing up. You know, Joseph, you just got to think, Joseph, man, you know, how many people have a baby in a stable and shepherds show up? And then they're talking about the Savior. You know, and then they move out of the stable and they find themselves a little apartment or something. And next thing you know, wise men show up. And it's not three wise men. It's like Pastor Matt said, they traveled 400 or 500 miles. There's hundreds of them. Okay? Now all of a sudden you got these guys from the east, and here's these camels, and here's all this kind, and you know, they dress funny, and they talk funny, and they come in, they say, we want to see the king of Israel. Joseph's just looking at him. Next thing you know, they're falling down before the baby. I mean, do you understand that? Yeah, they heard, they saw, but I mean, this is, you know, just going, man, you know, I'm probably pretty blessed to be here, you know. I mean, you know, this is quite a privilege that I have. And so Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which are spoken of them. And I mean, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but our Lord was every bit a baby, just like your babies. Do you understand? I mean, he humbled himself. He lowered himself. He was dependent on that woman to nourish him, to care for him, to protect him, so he could go to the cross and die for us. Guys, that's an amazing thing that Almighty God would lower himself. And yet we have so much trouble humbling ourselves. Well, I'm not doing that. That's beneath me. There ought to be nothing beneath any of us. Verse 34, and Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age. Buddy, she makes me look young. And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was now a widow of about 84 years. How much is 84? 84. Thank you, Mr. Engineer. Can't do a thing without his calculator, can he? She's 84 years, what, married and widowed. But let's say she married at a young age. What would you consider a young age, Cass? 16. Let's just go with 16. What's that make her? 107 years old. And look what the Bible said. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What were those two people doing? Those two people were waiting for the Lord, waiting for the Messiah, and they were faithful where God wanted them to be. And I mean, that is there's just a little glimpse of them in our Bibles. And what's God saying? What does God want us to do? He wants us to wait on him. Two ways. Wait and be faithful till he comes, but wait on him, serve him, you know, like a server, a waiter waits on a table, and be faithful where the Lord wants us to be, doing what he wants us to do. My greatest, you know, my heart's desire, I want to be where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do when I face the Lord. You know what I understand? I mean, I think it'd be great if the rapture happened when I was preaching. Really. Or I think it'd be great if that rapture happened when I was praying. Or if you were talking to somebody about the Lord. The older I get, the more my imagination just goes crazy. You know, telling somebody, you need to get saved. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. And the Lord's coming back soon. If you're not saved, by the time of boom, you're gone. You know? Don't you think that'd be neat? I think it'd be real neat. But look at Simeon's character. Look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was a what? He's just man. And devout. Just. Bible says in Genesis, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Deuteronomy, talking about the Lord, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. In Matthew, Pilate's wife was telling Pilate not to mess around with the Lord. This is what he said. Have thou nothing to do with that just man. Romans 1 says the just shall live by faith. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So I looked it up in the old dictionary. Just means upright, honest, righteous. Just means influenced by a regard to the laws of God or living in exact conformity to the divine will. Just. Well, the question would be, are we just? Are we matching up with Noah, with the Lord? If God is called just, then for you and I to be just, that would mean we would be godly, like God. Y'all with me? And so certainly you couldn't be dishonest in any of your dealings and be just. Y'all with me? I mean, you can't cheat God. You can't cheat your landlord. You can't cheat the bank. Y'all with me? Okay, just. Just in his dealings with man. Just in his dealings with his brethren. I mean, in other words, you have a good Christian testimony. And then it says devout. The old dictionary says devout is yielding. It's yielding to God. It's a reverential attention to God. It says in religious exercises. Well, what are religious exercises? Exercise thyself unto godliness. It's about walking with God. It's about yielding to the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And so this man was called just. He was called devout. And what was he doing? He was waiting for the Lord to come. What else was he doing? He was endued with power by the Holy Ghost. That's what it says there, right? The Holy Ghost was upon him. Guys, I think waiting and I think endued with power go hand in hand. And when I talk about waiting, I automatically, in my mind, I think about waiting on the Lord like a servant does, a waiter does. And I think about waiting for him to come back and looking for him to come back. Do you follow what I'm saying? Remember, the 10 virgins, they were not wise because they let the lamps go out. They let the oil go out. They weren't looking for him to come back, what? At any moment. And when we start putting that off and we don't realize that our Lord could come back, and we're not waiting for him like Simeon was waiting for him. And so he was waiting for him. He was waiting for the Lord to come back. He was endued with power by the Holy Ghost of God. And so what happened? Because he was waiting, because he was serving, because he was faithful, because he had the power of God, he was taught by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost told him, right? Not only was he taught, he was led by the Holy Ghost. Verse 27 says, go into the temple. And that's when the Lord was in the temple with Mary and Joseph. So he's taught by the Holy Ghost. He's led by the Holy Ghost. Guys, it's vitally important. It's vitally important. See, I study the Bible, and as I study it, I preach it to you, okay? But see, you need the Holy Ghost to be the one who guides you into all truth. That Holy Ghost will never violate the Word of God. Never. Hey, listen, you all have probably been in a church and a preacher, maybe even myself, said something that violates Scripture. Well, if that happens, the Holy Ghost tells you. That's not right. Because he's the one who authored that book. And he's the one who guides you into the truth. I remember I was listening to a good preacher, and he was preaching on who did hinder you. Remember that in Galatians? Only he didn't preach on who did hinder you. He preached on what hindered you. Well, it doesn't say what. It says who. And I like the preacher, and he's a good preacher. And he wasn't preaching. He just got a message, and he wanted to put a cross there, and he just changed the word, I guess, and just went on. Y'all with me? And so he was taught, he was led, and then, because he's filled with the Holy Ghost, what's he willing to do? He's willing to serve the Lord. He's willing to wait on the Lord and just be faithful until that time. Now, that's That's where we're at right now here. How long are you going to be faithful? How long are you going to wait and faithfully serve the Lord? Until your hitch is up? Until your flesh runs you? Or until Jesus comes back or you face him? You know what these two people did? They were faithful until the Lord came. That should be our heart's desire. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I was talking to a relative of mine today, and he says, I forget how he put it, a recovering alcoholic. And he said, once I understood the disease, he said, I was able to get a handle on it and all that kind of business. Okay? Well, that's not how I look at it. And I didn't fuss with him or anything like that. You know what I mean? Well, you know what I know? I know that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know that if I rely on my flesh to be faithful to the Lord, I know if I rely on my flesh not to compromise or quit, I know my flesh will fail me all the time. But I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I know I can reckon this old man dead. I know I can yield to the Holy Ghost. I know I can walk with him. I know I can walk in the Spirit each and every day and have victory in my life. I don't have to let bad thoughts stay in my mind. I don't have to let things. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it has to be the Lord. And that's where the filling of the Holy Ghost comes in. And then at the end of that thing, you know what they are? They're giving a joyful testimony about how good God's been. If anybody ought to be a joyful person, ought to be a born-again child of God. Amen? So you know what? I encourage you. You look back in your life, and you know what you see? You see faithfulness. You see God blessing you. You see God helping you get some victory in your life. You see growth in your life. You see growth in your family. Well, what do you see going ahead? I tell you what you ought to want to see. Being faithful. Being in your place. Being where God wants you to be. Getting fed the Word of God, feeding yourself the Word of God, being yielded to that Holy Ghost, and know what it is to have a touch of God on your life so that you can be faithful when He comes back. When He comes back, you get to hear the words, well done, thou good, faithful servant. Let's pray.